Welcome to the sixth episode of our Digging Deeper podcast series. And this episode concerns the project dissertations our Level 6 students work on. I'm joined by UCEM's Academic Delivery Manager, Projects, John Hubert. Hi, John.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, ticking along. Never a dull moment on this job. All good.
Good stuff. I'm also joined by Hazel Lobo, UCEM module leader for the undergraduate project. Hi, Hazel.
Hello, Andrew.
And how are you today?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. I hope you all are too.
Yeah, so quite a group of us today, because I'm also delighted to be joined by two current UCEM students. Firstly, Chris Heikover, who is on our BSc ONS Real Estate Management programme. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Andrew.
And how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. Yeah, pleasure to be joined by a couple of our students and for us all to be meeting each other in this way. And speaking of our second student, that is Gary Worthington, who is studying on our BSc ONS Construction Management programme. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you keeping?
Really well, thanks. Yeah, really good.
Good stuff. So our internet connections are all holding well, so we shall begin. So first off, we're talking about the project and being joined by John and Hazel. The first question is just that. What is the project?
You're directing at me or at Hazel?
John, if you'd like to.
No, yeah, okay, absolutely. So I'll be as brief as possible, but really the project is intended as a culmination of everything that the students put into their study programme on the degree for the previous 3-4 years, whatever the time frame is. Those previous 16 modules all lead into the project, which is a self-directed module. In fact, two semesters worth, 40 credits. And the idea is that it's a topic of your own choosing. Instead of being taught, per se, it's about you taking the initiative, being able to plan, to manage your time, to take a route that you want to follow, something that you want to do. I'm sure we'll talk about that shortly. But it's really the evidence for your honours degree. And in fact, the honours in a BSc degree, it actually revolves around the project. Without it, you generally won't get one to get that 360 credits.
Okay. And Hazel, do you have anything to add about the project there?
No, I think we'll cover things in where we're going in future, Andrew. So I think John gave us a really good introduction there.
Great stuff. So just in terms of the time frames, can you walk me through them? Maybe Hazel, if you'd like to discuss the timeframes.
Excellent. Well, as John said, it's a two-semester module, which is unusual for our students. They normally take one module per semester in their coverage. So the project starts very, very quickly. And within the first few weeks, you need to submit what we call the project outline. And that's just an overview at a very basic level of what it is you want to research. And the purpose of that outline is to allow us as a team to identify and pair you up with a supervisor who will then help you through the next two stages. The first of which is the research proposal, which comes in towards the end of the first semester, effectively the first three chapters of your final dissertation. And then at the end of the second semester, you will submit your full 10,000 word dissertation. And that's the completed project. So three important milestones, if you like: the outline, which is very prompt in the first 4 to 6 weeks, then the proposal, first three chapters around the end of the first semester, and then the final dissertation at the end of the second semester.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. And as you mentioned there, the outline is the first step on that. So our Level 6 students will be beginning to think about their project topics. So quite a crucial time. And what advice would you both have for them?
Okay, so briefly, we have a project intro on the study skills section of the VLE, which is accessible to all. So you don't have to be enrolled on the module, actually, or you know, if that process is still going through. Section 12 in study skills is the project intro. And that it just walks through what research is about, a little bit on critical thinking. But crucially, it also has some hints and tips towards the outline and a little form that you can download with sort of the fields that we're looking for, how you're going to conduct your research, what your title might be. And it's really fundamentally, we'll hear more from Chris and Gary shortly about how they approached it. But really, it's about what interests you, what your field of work is. It would be normally based around your program, something that you're doing within real estate, construction management, quantity surveying, building surveying, and so forth. Not crucial, though, could be something different if there's something you're passionate about, something that you really want to get into. But it's really something that will motivate you, actually, because no one else is going to do it for you, to be honest.
Hmm. Definitely. And Hazel, what advice would you give as well?
Yeah, I'd reiterate one of John's points, because this is not a taught module as such, because this is down to you. This is your chance to choose a topic. Choose one that you're really interested in. It might be something that's come up through your the rest of your study. There may be a subject that you wanted to go deeper into when you were studying a module. It might be something related to your work, a problem that you're facing at work, or something that's piqued your interest there. But make sure it's something that really, really interests you. John and I like to say, something that on a damp Tuesday evening you're going to sit down and want to work at. The other viewpoint, of course, is something that's going to allow you to say to your friends when we're allowed out again, no, I'm not coming out because I want to work on my project. That's what you're looking for, something with that level of passion and interest.
Right stuff. And yes, that, you know, I think that the great points you're both making there about, you know, something which you really want to work on, seeing as it is going to be two semesters worth of work, as you say, 10,000 words, which you'll be compiling. So, important that it is something which you can really get stuck into and enjoy. And, you know, for extra insight, we are joined by Chris and Gary, who have both recently completed their project dissertation. So, congratulations to you both. Great achievement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just firstly, Chris, if you could introduce yourself. So what is your job title and who do you work for?
Thank you, Andrew. So I'm Chris, and I'm a personal assistant at Griffin, which is a privately owned property investment and development company focusing on the UK logistics sector.
Great stuff. And you're currently on our BSE Ons Real Estate Management programme. So taking you back to the beginning of the project process, now you're at the end, so you've been through it. When did you start thinking about your project topic?
So I can absolutely put my mind straight back to the beginning, and it was quite overwhelming, or it can get quite overwhelming. But to be honest, I was sort of contemplating the topic area quite far in advance, because I knew there is always going to be a big project that needs to be done at the end of the studies. So my thinking sort of always revolved around sustainability in the built environment. And the initial ideas I had were, for example, the efficiency and wastage of building materials, or the uptake of a passive house construction. The topic of sustainability itself became very relevant sort of globally. And I have to say that my interest in sustainability was really reinforced by the theme emerging in most of the UCEM taught modules. So that sort of shaped the direction a lot. But the final topic did not get finalised until the start of the actual project module.
Okay. So in terms of where you were on the course at the time, was it from the first semester you even were had it kind of in your mind, or was it a bit further down the line?
I would say it was in about the second, towards the end of the second year, start of third year.
Okay.
But it was nothing specific. It was just sort of ideas floating around. But the broad topic of the sustainability in built environment was sort of always something that I kept going back to.
And what was the title of your project?
So the exact title of my project was The Barriers to Sustainability in Industrial Commercial Property in the UK, Analysis of the Current Circle of Blame. So it's a bit of a long title, but I think it encapsulates all that was explored.
Yeah, great. And how did you arrive at that particular topic? So you mentioned that you have a passion for sustainability. It ties into obviously the course which you're doing, and obviously by carrying out this research you would have been finding out, you know, a lot more than you would have known before. So to get to that point, how did you sort of go through that process?
Absolutely. So with the broad area identified, I think the final choice then came down to three aspects. First, knowing from, you know, the study materials and the professional environment, I knew that sustainable construction is possible. But a question kept popping to my head as to whether sustainability is implemented into every construction project, and if not, why? The second point is I was elaborating on the fact that, you know, regardless of the technology, it is, at the end of the day, the people who make the decisions. And mentioning that to John and Hazel, I was sort of pointed to the direction to consider the concept of circle of blame, which demonstrates sort of graphically the problematic of passing the responsibility for sustainability from one professional to another. So that was quite important component of that. And third, the topic was then narrowed down to the industrial sector of the UK property to make it a bit more relevant to my workplace.
All right. Thanks for taking us through, you know, the key elements which brought you to selecting your topic.
So,
what advice then, having been through that process, would you have for students in terms of identifying their topic?
Sure. So, I think where every student's thought process and area of interest will be different. I will sort of resonate what John and Hazel have said already. And that is, I would say, you know, it's good to start with questions that you are asking already, something you haven't found the answers to, something that you genuinely want to find out more about. And, you know, I'm not sure if this applies to all students, but I think there will always be a time where the dissertation project gets a bit difficult or, you know, a little bit overwhelming. No matter how prepared you are, and you know, having a topic that you enjoy or are genuinely interested in will, in my opinion, make the process easier. Also, John and Hazel mentioned in our study group, and I think that you know, helped calm the nerves a bit, is that the topic does not have to be anything revolutionary, nothing, you know, not a Nobel Prize material, just something that interests us and is manageable to deliver in that time frame.
Yeah, and I think the inquisitive nature, I think, is a really, you know, important point you raise there. How, you know, you'll be working, you know, every day in your field and have particular interests about work processes, and then obviously for yourself, it was the sustainability side of things. So, just starting to think about those questions about how things could be improved sort of going forward. So moving into actually you doing your project, I mean, how did you find that? Was it satisfying, the findings which you uncovered? And also, you know, were you pleased with your final submission?
So I have to say that the project module was very, very different from all the modules studied before, in the sense, again, as John has already mentioned, that this module is not taught, but it's sort of driven by students and their chosen topic. And well, it took me about a week or so to adjust to the different system. I then really, really enjoyed the module. John and Hazel provide the structure for the module and the dissertation, you know, the tools, if you like. And you then work one-to-one with your allocated supervisor, who is your guide throughout. That's something that you don't have available on in the other modules. So it's really, really good to be working with somebody one-to-one. And the supervisor sort of not only helps with setting interim deadlines and providing feedback, but I also found my supervisor very helpful in helping me decide which ideas to pursue and which not, and in that way, keeping the dissertation focused. I still think that, you know, no matter how many things you've got around you and supporting you, I think the dissertation is still a challenging process. It's not, you know, something that can be done in a few weeks' time. It's a long-term commitment and process. But I would say that time management, working with the supervisor, and probably most importantly, having supportive people around you make the process much more manageable. In terms of the final submission, so I was really happy that the submission was not rushed, because I had sort of nightmares that, you know, something will go wrong and I will have to, you know, rush things in the last months or weeks or something. So I was happy that it was not rushed. It contained all the areas intended. And, you know, reading the final work, it was quite nice to see the topic evolve across the final document. There will always be more that you want to elaborate on or add, but you can sort of only work towards the word count you've given and try and make the most of it.
I think that's really interesting that, you know, 10,000 words, when you say it, can seem like, you know, Everest, I suppose. But then when you get to the stage of where you are with completing the final submission there, and you're saying that actually you felt you could have gone into more detail, it just shows that if it's a subject which you have a passion for and you enjoy, that I wouldn't like to say how many thousand words you could write on it, but that 10,000 actually can be sort of a challenge to keep it within that realm. Really great insight there, Chris. And I think my head was going back to Hazel's analogy of a wet Tuesday evening. And if you've got that passion, and it does get tough, like you say, so if you've got something which you can see a great outcome with, then that will keep you going and keep you satisfied with it. So thank you, Chris.
Absolutely, no problem.
And Gary, I'd also like to ask you about a key element of the project, which Chris touched upon just then, and that's the supervisor. I mean, first off, if you could share your occupation and employer details.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Adrian. So my role is actually, I'm the head of store development for a company called Screwfix. We're part of the Kingfisher Group, quite an aggressive opening store program. So I'm actually responsible for the design and construction that's needed to deliver those new stores across the UK and a new market in the Republic of Ireland. I also look after all the refurbishments of the current estate. So a very busy but a very exciting role.
Yeah, it does sound busy, certainly. So, but yeah, as long as you're enjoying it, that's the main thing. So, as Chris was just mentioning there about the supervisor, could you tell us how that worked for you in terms of working with the supervisor?
Yeah, sure. So I think just building on what everybody said so far, I think the big difference in this module was having the supervisor, because very different role to what a tutor plays. and obviously there are tutors on the module. So I think the first thing to say was that it was actually about understanding the supervisor's role, and I took the opportunity to read the guide and listen to the bite-sized lectures to understand the background of what that role really meant. I think it was then about getting some early contact with my supervisor. As soon as the outline had gone in and the supervisor was released, if you will, we sort of got chatting on the forum. I have to say, I think in the first sort of week or so, it was a bit clunky, but we actually kind of then got into talking about ourselves, introducing ourselves. And I think most importantly, we talked about how we would work together and how we would communicate, both in terms of what we communicate about and, I guess, frequency. So we decided that, you know, every 2 weeks would work well. And I think one of the things I would say is that where I could submit something on the forum and, you know, Hazel, John would come back, you know, within a day or so, I was conscious that that wasn't necessarily going to be the case for supervisors, so I would advise that. I think we agreed that I would put things in and then I would wait to get things back for a week or so, particularly with any material or any outlines I was doing for initially for the proposal. So I think that's worth mentioning. I think in terms of the role, I think it was really around me bouncing ideas and thoughts, you know, off my supervisor, bouncing structures, if you will, of how I was actually attacking the research proposal. That's what I think my supervisor referred to himself as a critical friend, which turned out to be a really perfect description.
And it's you know, sounds like a collaborative relationship which you have with your supervisor, and it is quite unique that we don't have that one-to-one support on our other modules like we do on this on the project. So it is really important, that relationship, and as you say, it's kind of bouncing the ideas and seeing what works for you. So, you know, you're on our BSc Honours Construction Management programme. What was the title of your project?
Okay, so with our expansion that Screwfix are doing into the Republic of Ireland, I was really interested in looking at the building control side of it and the legislation. So I looked at what was the impact of the building control amendment regulations that came in 2014, which is quite a sort of a landmark piece of legislation for the industry, and how that impacted the construction industry.
Okay, and what did you find through your project?
Yeah, so I think I took the opportunity to carry out some interviews with people in the industry and also analyse, you know, some of the projects that happened since 2014. I think I found it's only 6 years ago. There wasn't really a huge amount of research that had been done. There'd been a few papers done, a lot of political commentary. So I think that being able to bring that, you know, that sort of, if you will, kind of views from industry and some evidence, I think was really valuable to get a really up-to-date picture. I think it's very much an evolving topic, if you will, because of it's still quite new. And I think it gave me a really rich insight into what's going on right across the industry in Ireland in terms of the progress that's been made from kind of the other part of the century when the Celtic Tiger created a really big boom over there. And how that's impacting on the economy as well. And I suppose that leads me to one of the challenges is that there was so much to look at. And I think certainly my supervisor was really good in terms of us talking about how I could narrow my focus down, which I think was really important. You know, I think when you're looking at the objectives and, you know, keep going back to that first question and fine-tuning that question, and that happened even after I put the research proposal in, even more so.
Yeah, the importance of keeping it specific and not going too wide with your inquiry, and you, clearly your project was very much based on your employer. So can I ask how did that work with Screwfix? So that, were they very invested in what you were doing with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my business is actually sponsored. My involvement on the whole course, so very much so. And I think the The interesting thing was with what happened with the pandemic and the lockdown, particularly in Ireland, where the construction industry is still actually locked down since January, it had quite a major impact. And initially, I planned to actually travel over to Ireland and carry out interviews because I was going back and forth to Ireland anyway. And that became a bit of a challenge. So from a supportive point of view, yeah, time-wise, that was good. I also picked up some contacts that through Screwfix that evolved into further deeper contacts within the industry to enable me to carry out some interviews, which was really valuable.
Yeah, and just as Chris touched upon, it's really important to have that support network around you, whether it's, you know, your colleagues or your family or whoever. So, I mean, if you did have to do it again, and we're not asking you to, of course, but what would you do differently?
What I'd do differently? I think just build on that kind of prospect of, you know, looking at the project itself. I think when I set it up and I did the sort of project plan at the beginning, I think it's really important that you treat it as any other project, and you've got a real plan and milestones, and you're allocating your time. And Chris has mentioned that about obviously the time allocation side of it. And I think having that really strong plan, I think the period following the research proposal, developing it from there through the data collection, and then moving data collection into analysing the data. I think the data collection period for me fell at a time when I had all of a sudden a high workload at work. I had stuff going on in my personal life with my family. And I think what Chris has mentioned about that support side is really important, because that's when a business came in and said, look, you know, you can take some time if you want to work on your project. But I think that leads me to looking at having the contingency in that project plan in the data collection phase. When I reflect back on it now, I think I'd intended to do sort of 10 interviews and carry out some sort of secondary data analysis collection as well. I actually managed to collect 8 interviews, and then I couldn't get the next two. But I pursued and actually went past the time I'd allocated to the data collection phase just to get those extra two, which did put a bit of pressure on me then for the data analysis and completing my final chapters. So what would I do differently? I think I'd be very much stricter. When you've collected the amount of data that you need, you've got to then look at, you know, your project plan and say, you know, have I got enough there? If you've got enough, then you can then move on to the next stage and don't get too wound up in terms of, you know, collecting even more data, because some of it you'll have to trim out anyway. I think it's a bit like peeling an onion doing this, and you can sort of be really careful you don't go down rabbit holes. Because, you know, it's such an exciting thing to be researching. Each of the interviewees posed more questions, and obviously I went off to look at those. But then you have to always keep coming back to the question and the objectives, and that really helps you. And that's where the supervisor came in as well. I think it's just reminding yourself that you have got a finite amount of time to complete it. You have got 10,000 words, not 20,000. So that would be, how I'd do it differently. I think I'd just really make sure that I homed in on that, each of the phases, and kept to those timescales and don't let them sort of...
Yeah, don't let them slip, I think, is where you're going there. Are you still there, Gary? Oh, you've gone on mute.
Sorry, I lost connection then. So don't let them slip. Don't let each phase slip into the next one, I think, is my advice and how I do it slightly differently. I mean, I was pleased with the submission at the end, but I think the final phase of writing the chapters could have been smoother if I just literally stopped at the point where I'd collected the data, enough data, and then spent the time, you know, analysing it, which... I did in the end, but I needed to apply for an extension at the end just to complete my submission.
I think that's a really great learning point, keeping your eyes on the big picture and
yes.
And not getting too taken with the detail, which I think in any walk of life, you know, when you're working on something, it's always good to have the end goal in sight. And yeah, I suppose sometimes that means compromising on certain aspects you might go into, which might take you off course in terms of where you want to end up. But you say that, you know, you were happy with what you submitted. So yeah, I think wish you the best of luck with obviously the results and that. And yeah, obviously you could have done these things, but we're probably nitpicking, because obviously John selected you both as two students who'd done well, carried out the process very well. And so, yeah, thank you for that perspective, Gary.
Yeah, I think just to sum up on that, I think, you know, as Hazel's mentioned before many times, is there's the opportunity to talk about what further research could be done. And I think that would be important point to mention, you know, which is what I did in the end. You know, there is more research should be carried out. There's nothing wrong with putting that into your very valuable points into your final project to recognise that fact of what you found. So, yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gary. And to wrap up, I just wanted to ask John and Hazel. So we've heard, you know, the student's perspective of carrying out the project module. So from a marker's perspective, what is it they are looking for from students with the project?
I think it's evidence of engagement, to be honest. And most of our markers have been around, well, however long, but you can tell. Literally, when you read through the first part of a project and then you go look at the reference and bibliography, I mean, we tend to read first and last, you know, conclusions and so forth, and introduction, abstract, what it's about. And you can see the effort that's gone into it. And almost instantly, you then get a picture of what the student has done, how well they've engaged, how well they've taken the supervisor's advice, because the end product is also a development of the proposal. Again, the project's unique somewhat in that you can take those draft three chapters for the proposal and develop them for the project. That's the whole point for the final dissertation. So you can see progression and you can see how well the students worked on the project. And I'd just like to say thank you to Chris and Gary while I'm here, because clearly they did. You know, it's a really cool thing to see. And it gives us a kick, if you like. It makes our day worth getting on with, too, on occasion. So that's maybe my thing. I'm sure Hazel has something to add as well.
Don't I always? So yeah. I'm going to be a little bit more... I mean, John's absolutely right, but I'm going to be a little bit more practical and say, first off, markers are looking for you to answer the research question that you set. You set it, so it's up to you to then answer it. Please make sure that you do that. And that ties into what Gary was suggesting about going back always to your research objectives and your aims as you're writing. The second thing I'd say is, although Chris is quite right, we're not looking for a Nobel Prize winning piece of work here, but what we are looking for is something that explains what your research means in terms of your topic. So not just the description of what you did and what you found as description, but the explanation of why that matters, what that means, and doing it that way. And then my final one would be, markers want something that's readable. Help your marker to see what you're talking about, help them understand what you're saying. And part of that, of course, is back to what we'd said right at the very start. Let your passion show, let your passion come through. You need to write objectively in that you can't afford to be blinkered in your results and just write a piece that shows all the things you wanted to investigate and none of the things that you found that didn't agree with your viewpoint. But that doesn't mean you can't allow your passion and your enthusiasm to shine through.
Fantastic. We've come full circle. So beginning with passion, ending with passion, and in between so many different points of view and pieces of advice, and, you know, a comprehensive look at the project, both from the tutors, markers and students' perspectives, which which I hope will prove useful for any students who are currently deliberating over their project topic. So thank you everyone for your time, to John, to Hazel, to Gary and to Chris. It's been really interesting. And if you are not a student of ours, but would like to find out more about our programmes, head to ucem.ac.uk/study-with-ucem/. Thanks for listening.